Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
I want to, just as we close up this morning, by way of reminder for the older parents around, and perhaps a way of encouragement for the new parents in our midst, just very quickly share something that I felt the Lord lay on my heart as I was praying for this morning's service. Malachi 2 verse 15, verse we often speak about when it comes to children, when it comes to marriage. The context of a guy who's perhaps not being the best husband that he could be. It speaks about why God gave marriage, why God made us one, and says, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are His. And what does He want? Why did God, is the question here, why did God make husband and wife one? For this reason, the two shall become one flesh. Why is the purpose of all of that? It's because God wants godly children from your union. So guard your heart and remain loyal to the wife of your youth, and the number of implications there about what could happen if we don't remain loyal to our wives, about the godliness of our children. But there's a promise in the midst there, that what does God want from us? And I want to encourage all of those parents that were up here and the rest of us who are parents. God looks at those kids and He smiles over them. One of the things that He wants from them in their lives is godliness, a knowledge of Him and an ability to follow Him. I want to marry that a little bit with another verse in Daniel 11 verse 32, and we pressed for time, so I'm not going to give all the context. It's the second part of a verse, because it's speaking about a great time of judgment. It's a prophecy that Daniel is sharing there, and a whole bunch of stuff is going to be happening. There are going to be persecutions and things going on. And then there's just a snippet right in the middle there of all of this craziness that's going on. It says, but in the middle of all of this craziness, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits, this translation says. Others' translations say, the people who know their God shall be strong and will stand against Him, Him being the one who is bringing all of this persecution and destruction. I believe that when God looks at our children, He's wanting children who know Him, godly children, and can carry out great exploits for His name. This morning, I just very briefly want to share a few thoughts around what are some of the things we can hold on to as we endeavor to raise children who know. Children who know Him, children who can be strong, children who can carry out great exploits. Proverbs 22 verse 6, another passage that we know really well around parenting, it says, train up a child in the way that he or she should go, even when he is old. He will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way that he should go. As parents, we can give our children the best possible start to life. We can train them up well. We can train them up right. And then there is the craziness of this promise that God says, if we do this, they're not going to depart from that path. They may take a detour. There may be, and there probably will be, moments that we look at and we're like, God, what happened? You promised. And yes, God promised. That's the whole point. He will be there, and they will not depart from it, even if for a moment they do. Very briefly this morning then, four things about giving our children this best possible start. Four things about raising up children who are godly offspring. Four things to do with the fact that God wants us to raise up kids who know Him. We start what Deuteronomy chapter 6 says to us, teach them His ways. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And we hear that often, and that's a famous part in Jewish culture, to repeat that regularly. But watch what verse 6 goes on to say. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. The first thing to giving our children this best possible start, the start to a knowledge of the fear of the Lord that will be built inside of them, a knowledge of our God, that they may be strong and carry out great exploits, starts by speaking about the ways of God, speaking about His laws, speaking about His statutes, teaching them the Word. One of the favorite things that I get to do with my kids is to, when we put them in bed, we've got a little action Bible, which is a really cool Bible for those of us who have small kids. It's the Bible in comic book form. It's true to Scripture, but the way it's illustrated, it's just the way that my kids who can't read yet, they can follow the pictures, and it's little comic books, and it's in English, but I just translate as I carry on for my kids. They love it. I want to encourage us, let's be people who teach our children the Word of God. I love what the Scripture says. I want to repeat that there. It says from verse 7, repeat them again and again to your children. I always want to encourage all of our parents, you know, we should be committed to children's church. We should be committed to being there for our kids' sake. So often we float in and out, and then we wonder why our kids aren't being taught the Word. Yes, we must primarily teach them at home, but we understand that there is a church around us, just like you and I do Bible study, and we must do Bible study in the week, and we must allow the Word and the Spirit through the Word to speak to us personally. There's another dynamic that happens when we position ourselves in a setting like this and we allow the Word to be spoken to us and over us. That same holds true for our children. Teach it to them, repeat it to them again and again. Talk about them. Don't talk about your kids when you're at home. Talk about the Word, God's statutes, His principles, when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Let's make it a habit, a culture in our families to teach His ways. We read from the book of Hezekiah in chapter 38. Hezekiah was a king and he'd sinned greatly and judgment came upon him and he was about to die. And he cried out and he said, God, please don't kill me, please. The prophet came and brought him a message and said, you know, God has heard your prayer. He has seen your heart and He's going to give you 15 more years to live. You can imagine Hezekiah lived those last 15 years different. I'd live my last 15 years different if I went through that ordeal. And in the midst of that discipline, he says, Lord, your discipline is good, for it leads to life and health. In other words, God, sometimes a good hiding brings hope. You restore my health and you allow me to live. Yes, this anguish was good for me, for you have rescued me from death and forgiven all my sins. I love this. For the dead cannot praise you. They cannot raise their voices in praise. Those who go down to the grave can no longer hope in your faithfulness. Only the living can praise you as I do today. Each generation tells of your faithfulness to the next. Think of it. The Lord is ready to heal me. I will sing His praises with instruments every day of my life in the temple of the Lord. But each generation tells of their faithfulness, of God's faithfulness to the next. This for me as a parent is such an encouragement, but so often such a challenge as well when I sit with my kids and I wonder how much of God's faithfulness in my life have I told to my kids. How are my kids being raised not only with the knowledge of the Word, knowing the Bible and Bible stories and how to appropriate them to their lives, but knowing of the faithfulness that I have experienced from God? Hezekiah says, each generation tells of his faithfulness to the next. Parents, let's be a generation that tell of the faithfulness of God to our children. The Psalms, David writes, he says, I will exalt you. It's a Psalm of Asaph, actually. I will exalt you, my God and my King. And I will praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure His greatness. It's a great psalm, and many of us could sing that. Many of us could proclaim it. But then he changes a little bit the way in which he is praising. He says, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. Firstly, we teach our children the word. We have a parenting course where we practically will help the parents through this a little bit and give practical tips. I just this morning just want to lay down the principles. The first one is teach our children the word. Teach them his ways. Secondly, tell of his faithfulness, his goodness, how he has carried us, how he has brought husband and wife together, how he came through when we weren't able to have a kid and the kid was born. When dad lost his job and we didn't know where to go and God carried us. When there were moments and we didn't know which direction to turn, but God was faithful. Tell of his faithfulness. But also tell of his power. Let us raise children with a big view of God. Children who can pray big prayers because they believe in a big God. A God who can actually do exactly what he said. A God who can create the heavens and the earth just by speaking. A God who can raise Lazarus from the tomb. A God who can do mighty, mighty miracles. Let's instill faith, impart faith into our children by telling them of the great things that God has done. Not only his faithfulness in our lives, but the power with which God works as well. In this psalm, the psalmist is doing exactly that. He's proclaiming of all of the great things that God has done. And then he says, I do it because let every generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let's tell God, let's tell our children of the mighty acts. Let's raise them up with something inside of them that my God is able. There was a song when I was a student, we used to sing, my God is big, so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. I want a part of that to be written on my children's hearts as they grow up. That when they find themselves in a situation, yes, they know that God is good toward us. God is faithful. But it's one thing knowing God is good and God is faithful. It's another thing knowing God is powerful. He is able. My God is big. He is strong. He is mighty. Let's trust God to find ways to proclaim that and write that on the tablets of our children's hearts. And then the last one for us this morning before we close. Teach his ways. Tell of his faithfulness, proclaim his power. And the last one, which is maybe the most difficult of the lot, teach them to do as I do, not do what I say. Timothy is such a beautiful example of his mom and his grandmother being example of faith. Paul writes to Timothy, and he obviously knew his parents and his grandparents, and we read in Scripture that Timothy's dad was a Greek. We don't know if he was a believer or he wasn't a believer, but his mom was a Jew and she was a believing Jew. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. What would your children's lives look like if the same faith that is in you continues strong in them? See, I want to be a man of faith because I want my children to be men. It's going to struggle to do that. My children to be daughters of faith, women of faith. You see, but if the faith that is in me is perpetuating in them, then I want there to be a great faith in my life. I want to grow in faith. I want to establish faith. I want the faith that God has entrusted me, I want that to grow and to swell because I want my children to receive, in a sense, that impartation so that one day, somebody can write into their lives and say, I know the faith that was in your mom and dad. I know the faith that it was in your grandmother. And I know that same faith dwells in you. And I want that same faith to be a big faith. I don't want somebody to say to my kids, your dad was really a teeny-weeny faith guy, and I can see this teeny-weeny faith in your life. I want them to say, your dad had faith. He believed in this great, big, powerful God. He was able to trust in him, and I know that same solidity of faith that was in your dad trusts in you. So what does that mean? That means there's a large burden in a sense, but in a healthy way resting upon my shoulders around my faith and my wife's faith. because we understand that that's the example of faith that our children are going to walk. This morning, I want to encourage us as parents. Let's be parents who tell and teach of His ways, who teach His ways, who tell of His faithfulness, who proclaim His power, and let's endeavor for ourselves to grow in faith so that we can be examples of faith and so that they can tell the mighty deeds that God has done through our lives to their children and to their children's children, because we were willing to stand up and to walk in faith. Psalm 78 sums all of this up for us so beautifully. Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation, and here we see about the glorious deeds of the Lord. They speak of His faithfulness, about His power and His mighty works. They're proclaiming His power. For He issued His laws to Jacob. They're not afraid to teach His laws. He gave His instruction to Israel. They're teaching His ways, so the next generation might know them. Even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, so that they may be a people who know God, that they will carry out great exploits, not forgetting His glorious miracles and obeying His commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. I don't want my kids to be the stubborn, rebellious, unfaithful, refusing to be or to give their hearts to God. And yet there's this promise that if we would be the generation who tells of the great and mighty deeds to the next generation, that will not be so. That if we could set and train up a child in the way they should go, they're not going to depart from it. We can hold that confidently over those beautiful babies we committed today. We can hold that confidently over the older children. We're sure that we are building and investing the Word of God, the knowledge of God, the power of God, the example in our lives of God into and over their lives. Can we stand together this morning as we close off in prayer? Lord Jesus, You really are so wonderfully, fantastically good. And this morning we want to celebrate that. As much as we celebrated every one of these children this morning, God, I thank You that I can celebrate everyone in this room as children of You. That You have called us by name, as Rena prayed, that every one of us were fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, many of us here, we were raised, Lord, and we're so thankful that we were raised by parents of faith who taught us the Word, who spoke of Your faithfulness, proclaimed Your power, and were fantastic examples to us of what it means to follow Jesus. Lord, we also realize that for some of us it wasn't, but we thank You that nevertheless You extend Your hand towards us, Lord, and You call us to You anyway, Lord. And You train us, and You heal, and You restore. And we want to say thank You for that, Jesus. Lord, I realize there are many parents here who this morning as I speak, Lord, we realize that there were areas in which perhaps we didn't teach and we didn't tell, we didn't proclaim, and we weren't great examples. And I thank You right now, Holy Spirit, for an abundance of grace over those children. God, I pray with those parents and for those parents right now that, Holy Spirit, that You would come in as our rear guard and that You would turn the hearts of those children to You in Jesus' name. Lord, I even sense there's some parents here this morning who, even as I read that we should train up a child in the way he should go and they should not depart, we will not depart from that. Lord, that they're just holding on to the promise because right now it looks to them that their children are departing. And Lord, by faith, we call those children back, Lord. We call and we stand upon the truth of Your Word, and we call those children, Lord, back to the path that You have prepared for them now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray for every one of us as parents that we may have grace to raise our children well. for every one of our lives individually. Jesus, we ask for grace to be an example. Even as we're praying, I realize that some of us here this morning, we in our own hearts realize that we probably aren't the best examples and haven't been the best example. Right now, it's like the Holy Spirit's leaning on your heart to grow in faith, to become an example. Some of you are saying, it's too late, that I can't fix it now. And God says, yes, there's a lot of water under the bridge, but He can redeem anything. He can redeem your life. He can redeem your legacy and the lives of those around you if you would just commit your life to Him. Perhaps you're here this morning and you know the Holy Spirit stirring you to do that. I want to encourage you, there where you are in your heart, make a decision to say, Jesus, I'm committing my path to You. From this moment, I want to grow in faith in Jesus' name. And if that is you this morning, I want to invite you before we leave to come forward. We'd love to pray with you. If you this morning need to make a commitment and renew a commitment to grow in faith, a commitment to follow Jesus, please don't leave without having somebody pray with you. It'll be our honor to pray with you. I know God has a plan for you. It's not too late to redeem all that He has purposed upon your life. And so, Jesus, I thank You this morning that You have spoken to many of our hearts, that You've stirred faith in our hearts. Thank You, Lord, that as we go from here, we don't go from Your presence. Your promise is Your presence goes with us wherever we go, whether to Nelspruit or various parts of the country that we've come from to gather here this morning, to our homes, to our campuses, to our businesses. Thank You, Jesus, that Your presence goes with us. Thank You, God, that I can bless everyone, that as we go from here, I ask, Jesus, that You would cause favor to rain down upon us, Lord, that You would bring clarity into every confusion, that You would still every storm, that You would pour grace over every moment of our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.